Stuff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Okay, you're with Radio City Talk. I'm Steve Hothersall. Let's look ahead to a massive night of footy action at Anfield. But it's the under-23s who are going to be putting on the display tonight. So it's Liverpool's under-23s against Arsenal's under-23s. There's still a little bit of niggle between the two sides. They met earlier on this season. The Reds came out on top. Let's talk with the under-23s captain, Harry Wilson. Morning to you, Harry.
Morning.
Thanks for joining me. Let's just reflect quickly on that game, because I think it was a win at the Emirates that kick-started the season, wasn't it? What do you remember of it?
Yeah, that's right. I think we got off to a fairly slow start in the league. We got beat against Chelsea and Southampton. So I think that Arsenal game was a bit of an early turning point for us. We went down to the Emirates and managed to pick up a 3-1 win, which a really good performance, and we were delighted to get the three points that day.
Sometimes you just need that game, don't you, that sparks you into life. You'll have experienced that quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think we needed that game, and to put in such a good performance away at the Emirates to give us all confidence to kick on.
How's the under-23s been this season? It's been remarkable in terms of some of the names that have made that progress. They're your mates on the footy field and in training all week. So, you know, we've seen Ben in the past couple of weeks getting all the headlines, Ben Woodburn, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Ovie Ejaria. These are lads who you're playing with week in, week out. How much of an inspiration has it been watching it, Harry?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think all of us here in the under-23s team are aiming to get into the first team, and to see the likes of the people you've just mentioned getting their chance and doing really well, it gives us all confidence that if our chance comes, we can do the same.
Do you get a real buzz? For example, when Ben was playing and he scored that goal and the whole nation took sort of attention of Ben Woodburn, does that even give the likes of you a buzz watching that?
Yeah, definitely. I think to see one of your teammates doing well on the big stage, it's going to give you a massive buzz, and we were all really, really happy for him.
I suppose that pushes everyone on within the squad as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think all the lads were watching that game, whether they were at the game or at home. And I think to see Ben come on and then to get his goal, I think the buzz around the team was really good, and we're all supportive of each other.
And it's important to say that you've had the involvement with the first team as well, haven't you? You've played in some sort of behind scenes, closed doors matches. You've been training with them as well, haven't you? So you are having that integration at the same time.
Yeah, I think the club's really good for that. I think the under-23s, the way we train, the times we report, we try and mirror the first team. So when we get our chance to go up there and train or play, I think we all know our jobs and what to do. So I think that's a massive help.
Must be like a kid in a sweet shop if you're training with the likes of Coutinho or Lallana or, you know, these attacking players that you want to sort of build your game towards.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we go up there, I think every single player is really good with the young lads. I think when we go up there, they all make us feel welcome. And that just gives you confidence. And then when you go out onto the training field and see the likes of Coutinho and Lallana doing their stuff, it's just a pleasure to watch and train with.
On a personal level, how's your season been? Because obviously last season you had that injury, didn't you? Broken toe, which seemed like an innocuous sort of situation. Missed a big portion of the season, which is frustrating for a young lad.
Yeah, massively. I think that injury, like you said, at the start, we just thought it was going to be a broken toe, but one thing led to another, and I ended up missing a massive chunk of the season. So that was frustrating for me. But to get back this season, to be named under-23 captain, and then to kick on from there, it's been a real boost for me. So I think we're about halfway through the season now. We're in a good place in the league. I feel I'm in a good place personally, so just looking up from here.
Yes, great player to watch. I mean, we'll look ahead to the game tonight. So Liverpool under-23s against Arsenal. First time that you guys have managed to play in the stadium this season in front of that brand new stand.
Yeah, it is. We're all looking forward to it. I think we played a few games there last season, which was good. But we're all looking forward to getting back on the pitch and seeing the new stand.
Does it give it a different feel, a little bit different if you're playing an under-23s match at Anfield?
Yeah, I think so. But I think all the players have been to the Premier League games or the European nights at Anfield, and we all know the history and the special place it is. So we're all looking forward to walking out under the new stand and hopefully putting on a good performance.
Radio City. City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Radio City Talk.
Alan Irwin commentating on Everton at the weekend. And look, have they gone as low as they can go, Al? Or did you see any glimmers of a resurgence there?
Oh dear, the only consolation was it was the early kickoff, Steve, and you had the rest of the weekend to recover, I suppose, and regather thoughts. Yeah, it's not looking good, is it? I did feel as though when Everton went a goal in front, that would give them a bit of confidence and a bit of impetus that they've been lacking of late. But there doesn't seem any cohesiveness amongst the side. They don't seem to have a sort of work plan, and you know, the work ethic might be not what Ronald Koeman is wanting, but they don't seem to have a formula and an understanding on the pitch at the moment. So it's something that Mr. Koeman's got to address sooner rather than later. I mean, he's coming out afterwards and he's saying exactly what the fans are seeing. You know, he's saying that they're not getting to second balls, that they're a bit too weak as a team. I think he said they were too passive and they have difficulties against teams like this who play with a bit more aggression. Well, I'm afraid it's time for him to actually put right exactly what he's been seeing week in, week out. So whether there's something between him and the players that isn't getting across, you know, it certainly appears that way at the moment, doesn't it? So two very difficult games to come for Everton to try and address these issues.
Well, he's going to be given time, and he'll be given money in January. But let's face it, he's got to do better with the resources that he's got at this moment in time.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, many of the fans are calling into question the players and their responsibility. You know, a lot of these players may well feel that they're not going to be around at Goodison come, not necessarily January, but next summer. Now, you can look at this one of two ways, that they're not playing for the manager because they haven't got the belief that he believes in them and they're going to remain at Goodison. Or they should be playing their damnedest to ensure they have a future, not just at Everton, but elsewhere, if somebody wants to actually take them away from the football clubs. So something's amiss somewhere, isn't it, Steve?
His selection decisions seem to be under the microscope. James McCarthy started the game. Ross Barkley was left on the bench. Aaron Lennon was left waiting on the bench until the 83rd minute of the game. So there's an attacker that might have done something.
Well, I don't know. Aaron Lennon's not exactly, you know, been massive for Everton. Excuse the pun. You know, over the course of the past sort of 6 months, really, I don't think he's delivered a great deal. I could possibly understand his team selection in the fact that McCarthy came in. They were going to try and battle it out in midfield and try and give as much as Watford gave them in terms of that sort of midfield area. But it just it didn't pan out that way. And Ross Barkley, you know, was left on the bench for a while, wasn't he? Came on in the second half, but by that time you're chasing the game. Questions have got to be asked about, you know, Everton's defensiveness at the moment, given the fact that the way they're conceding goals, they're not stopping crosses to begin with, Steve, which is, you know, one of the basics of football. So that's an area that's got to be addressed. They've left Jagielka out again for Funes Mori. It doesn't seem to have made any noticeable discerning difference, really. A couple of the goals, I think any football manager would be disappointed about conceding them.
Here's a headline in the Mirror. Fans turn on Koeman as infuriating Toffees leave fight back too late. Have the fans turned on Ronald Koeman in any way?
I don't think they've turned on him. I think they're finding it difficult at the moment to understand why he's not getting the best out of this set of players. We know, everybody knows, he's got to make changes over the course of the next transfer window, but that's not that easy, is it? And I think fans are very much, you know, prepared to give him a couple of transfer windows before they can put any real pressure on Koeman. Let's face it, they're still in the top half of the table at the moment, Steve. It's not an absolute disaster. A lot of clubs go through difficult runs during the season at one stage or another, but you know, this is one that's been a bit prolonged for Everton at the moment against some teams, certainly, that they should have got the better of. And now they're coming into a series of fixtures where they're going to find it even more difficult. It might be a good thing, Steve. It might be something that just does, you know, bring the best out of them in terms of what's required at the moment. And that's a bit of fighting spirit, a bit of heart. Everton are lacking that at the moment, and that's what the fans aren't happy about more than anything, I would say. You know, if Evertonians want to see players deliver their absolute utmost for the football club, and they're just getting the impression at the moment that a number of those on the pitch aren't exactly giving their all, and that's what will disappoint the Evertonians.
The kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Magnificent night of boxing on Saturday night, and we'll do that with top boxing commentator Steve Lillis. Morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Thanks for having me on, mate.
Well, thank you for your company as always. Let's start with Callum Smith. We'll get on to the other bigger boys in a moment or two. He's pretty big himself. But Callum doing the business at the weekend with a 10th round knockout. Luke Blackledge just couldn't cope with that shot. That's one of the best KOs I've seen in ages.
Sensational left hook. And when Callum retires in many years, with loads of world title belts wrapped around his waist and loads of money in the bank, when he looks at his knockout highlight reel, if there's one that beats that, wow, that's all I can say. Sensational knockout. I thought the finish was going to come a lot earlier. Luke was reluctant to come forward and make the fight. I think the corner should have pulled him out after 8 rounds, and that would have stopped him getting badly knocked out. I think that should have happened. But then when he started, when Luke did come forward in the 9th round, the opportunity's become there for Callum. And as soon as he got that chance in the 10th round, he took it. A spectacular knockout. And one that, you know, he might be, you know, he didn't seem happiest with his performance and his body language. But I'm sure that knockout made amends for the previous 9.5 rounds.
10 rounds might not have done him bad either, Steve.
No, of course not. Because, you know, he's going to go into a world title fight next year, so for sure, the winner of the James DeGale unification fight will be ordered to meet him by BC. So there's every chance he could be in an absolute enormous battle of Britain in the first half of next year against James, and it's deserved. I mean, you know, you speak to most people in British boxing, whether they're from Liverpool, where all your rivals are, and if you say likely British world champions in the next 12 months, Callum Smith would be high up there.
James DeGale, Badu Jack, they're fighting each other, as you mentioned. Once Callum gets to the winner of that fight, is it straightforward for him or not? Is he a class above or not?
Not at all. DeGale's a real talent. I mean, we've got all these great British world champions at the moment. And as good as it is for the sport, the only one British world champion who can say he's the best in the division right now is James DeGale. He is a serious talent. People still look back on the George Groves loss, but he's a very, very good, very, very good fighter. I'm a big DeGale fan. You know, what he does sometimes has almost cost him dear, certainly when he's won his world title against Andre Durrell, is that he does switch off for periods. If Callum fought DeGale, I wouldn't be dismissing at all against any super middleweight in the world, but DeGale would start favourite in that fight. Badu Jack, DeGale's a hot favourite to beat him, but one thing Badu Jack has done, he's improved since he's become champion. You know, he beat George Groves, who that was very close. I thought he deserved to win that fight, and he has improved. It's a big ask for Callum, certainly against James DeGale. And if Jack did upset DeGale next month in New York, he'd start favourite as well against Callum. So no, I mean, you know, he's certainly looking for his world title the hard way.
Steve Hothersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.